Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to one of our special podcasts rounding out 2022 as we look through some of the highlights of the year that you are voting for in the Motorsport Magazine Awards. I'm Chris Medland, and to look back on some of the best overtakes of the year, I'm joined by a driver who knows just how skilled you have to be to pull off these moves and a commentator who has only got a slightly easier task of calling them. It's Jack Aitken and Alex Jakes. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello there.
Now, Jack, such a busy racing driver that I've introduced you at, that you've been driving in the States and are joining us from afar right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I definitely wasn't late for this podcast. My excuse is that I was driving deep into the night last night, doing a lot of laps, testing the new Cadillac. I've got to get this right. VLMDH car, which is it's pretty exciting.
Very cool for you to get over there and do that, but that's a new category for you, isn't it, to get stuck into?
It is, yeah. It's going to be my first time in the top class with the new LMDH cars, and first time racing in IMSA in America, which everyone has told me that I need to do because it's some of the best sports car racing in the world. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Well, you're also in a very cool venue, calling in from Daytona. Now, I'm going to throw to not quite Daytona, Alex. where are you joining us from to go through the best ways of the season?
Absolute slight on West London, that is, eh? Unbelievable. Yeah, not quite as glamorous as Jack's venue, but yeah, delighted to be with you guys.
Well, I mean, I'm West London too, so I mean, it's a slight on us both. But what have you been up to since the season wrapped? Do you get a bit of time off?
Yeah, get a bit of time off away from the sound of my own voice, which is quite a good thing. Another really exciting season of Formula One, Formula Two, W Series for the races that they were able to run. And before you know it, it's disappeared in a blink of an eye. And we're in the off season talking about overtakes and counting down the days to it all starting again.
Yeah, certainly are counting down the days, but we're also counting down the days to the vote ending. Because I'm going to run through the shortlist in a second that our listeners and readers are voting on for the Motorsport Magazine Awards. And this podcast, as you may well have guessed, is about the best overtake of the season. Now, chronologically, so I'm not trying to sway anyone's opinion here. Chronologically, the shortlist is as follows. And this was put together by the team here at Motorsport Magazine. So this part, don't blame me. I didn't get a full say in this. That I'm contributed, but it's not all my fault. So chronologically, the first overtake is Lewis Hamilton on Sergio Perez and Charles Leclerc at Silverstone. Then we've got Daniel Ricciardo on Fernando Alonso and Esteban Ocon in Hungary. We've also got Charles Leclerc on Sergio Perez at Circuit of the Americas in Austin. And also from that race, Sebastian Vettel on Kevin Magnussen. So, Jack, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on those four. Sound like a strong shortlist, or are you seeing any glaring errors?
No, it's a strong shortlist. And what I like is actually that there's a few, it kind of depends what your criteria are for best overtake, what your perspective is, because I've got my ideas about what should make it worthy a winner. Technical issues, sorry. My sort of criteria would be along the lines of how difficult the overtake is to pull off, which is, you know, maybe an obvious one, but it's only one part of it. Maybe the inventiveness of said move, you know, is it fairly run-of-the-mill lunge and it's just been really well executed, or have they done something that's a bit different and it's maybe at a circuit where you wouldn't be able to normally or expect a move to happen. And then the final thing, which kind of springs to mind with the overtake for maybe Vettel on Magnussen and Hamilton on his two is the kind of soft factors, like how cool was it in the moment? You know, it was it in front of a home crowd? Was it on the last lap? Was it for the win? Because those are kind of important in my opinion as well. And you've got a bit of a mix there, so it's nice.
Oh, brilliantly put. I was going to say, what do you think, Alex? Like, any more to add than that?
No, I think it's a very good point. You've got the context of how big a moment it was. You've got how inventive they were, how brave. I think bravery in an overtake is always one that suckers you in for picking a favourite. But there have been a lot of great moves. You could easily have a short list that included, I think, you know, Hamilton, Perez and Leclerc were always going to be thrown in there. But I think the other three maybe weren't guaranteed. We've seen some excellent overtakes all the way through this year. I think you could have almost an entirely different shortlist, but that just tells you how many great moves have been this season.
Yeah, it's been very exciting. But those are the four that you can all go and vote for at motorsportmagazine.com. There are loads of others we could have had. Most of them that spring to mind include Max Verstappen and Charles Leclerc. There was Max on Charlotte Imola was a really nice move around the outside into the first chicane. Then there was Charles returning the favour in Austria into turn four that I thought was great. Yeah. Or all the times they swapped positions in the first two races. As I described it to someone the other day, it was Max on Charles on Max on Charles on Max on Charles on Max at Bahrain. But yeah, we've got these four. And we're going to start with the earliest one on the shortlist that you both already referenced just now. More an opportunist move than anything else from Lewis Hamilton, but he was in the right place to take advantage of Leclerc and Perez's scrap at Silverstone. So, Jack, what do you make of that sort of portion of racing, I guess?
It's a move that takes a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? You have to have really good understanding of what's happening in front of you with your opponents. When you see two cars fighting like that, and trying to read the race and see what's going to unfold, because he makes it look quite simple, and you know, picks his moment to obviously pounce and waits for them to lose momentum and get a really good exit through club and, you know, keep it tight on the way through the very last corner. But he could have easily stuck his nose in a corner too early and wasted the opportunity. Because they were very, very slow through the first part of club as well. But he waited to make sure that the move would stick. And the other thing is that into that final corner at Silverstone, which is flat out, but it is a corner, you're never really sure if the guy on the outside has seen you. It feels like a very risky place to put your nose in unless you're fully alongside. And there would have been an element of that running through his mind when he was trying to pull up alongside with the extra speed that he had. But he stuck with it, and he was racing against some high-class, world-class drivers. So, of course, they did see him, and it all worked out very well.
I mean, Alex, I imagine a big part of why this is a favourite for some people is the atmosphere and drama of it all as well. It must have been a lot of fun to commentate on.
It's the loudest I've ever heard a crowd in a commentary box. Ever. It was shout to hear yourself think loud. It was that big. Incredible moment. A part of a flurry of racing, like some of the best Formula One wheel-to-wheel racing that we've seen in years. It's part of the moment, isn't it? Because the overtake is, give you a little insight behind the scenes. Going into Vail, DC, David Coulthard just tapped Hamilton on the screen. So he saw the whole thing happening before it happened, which I think speaks to the experience that Jack was talking about and the fact that you've got to have a lot of experience. Perez and Leclerc focusing on themselves. Leclerc obviously at the tyre disadvantage. Perez scrapping. And Perez isn't really known as an overtaker. It's also worth saying that he isn't really famed for that in his Formula One career. So incredible battle. But yeah, just to get that high camera angle and just the cut and the crowd noise, and it's an almost perfect Formula One moment.
Now, are we going to ignore the fact that Perez cut the apex in the middle of it?
Here we go.
To try and get this to happen. I mean, should this lose it points? Should it make it better because we're like, gloves are off and you can do what you want? I'm going to go with Jack. If you were probably in Perez's car, I bet you're saying, oh, it was brilliant. If you're in the clerks, you're probably saying, well, he's cheating.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think I probably would side with Leclerc. I mean, he was off the track. but yeah, it's they did have a massive sausage curb exactly where Perez put his car until about a couple of years ago for that reason, I guess. But he took advantage of all the track and more. I don't think it should detract from the overtake because, you know, that actually the battle between Perez and Leclerc isn't really what we're looking at. It's like we say, it's Hamilton's reading of the situation and being able to pull that off and doing it in front of his home crowd. And the atmosphere really, I think, really adds to the overtake. So I think that's fine. I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, you're nodding along. I get the feeling that I'm being an absolute party pooper if I say that that should really come into the thinking.
It would have been brave, and it would have melted Twitter if they'd applied any penalties for that move. I think the one thing against this being overtake of the year is I'm not even sure it's the best overtake in that race.
Ooh.
I think Charles Leclerc around the outside of Hamilton at Copse Corner amid that flurry of action, I think that's a better overtake. But it's not as iconic because it doesn't come equipped with the crowd noise and the wonderful pictures. Like every cut of the TV broadcast was perfect. The racing was broadcast. The cars looked so good through that corner anyway that it's Leclerc and Hamilton is not a bigger moment, but I think it's possibly a better overtake.
I like that. That's what we're here to do, is to basically argue against every single one of the four chosen overtaking moves that you're all voting on. But no, we're not here to pick a favourite out of them. We are here to talk through them on their merits, and then maybe I'll put the guys on the spot at the end. But moving on to Hungary then, a few races later, and Daniel Ricciardo didn't have much to get excited about in 2022, but this was a sweet move. Ocon came out of the pits on hard tyres ahead of Alonso, who had been holding Ricciardo off after they made their pit stops. Ricciardo was on mediums, Alonso was also on hards, and the two Alpines were kind of more preoccupied with each other, and Ocon, defending the inside line at turn three, forced both a little wide, and Ricciardo had seen it coming. So he was down the inside of both and then swept across Ocon into turn four to complete the move. So a lot went on, but again, it was two in one. Was it heads-up driving, Jack?
Yeah, it's kind of in this very similar category to the move we just talked about for Lewis, and reading the situation, when you have a car coming out from pit lane, you always know that, okay, that they have hot tyres in Formula 1 straight away. But it takes a corner or two for the driver to figure out the grip level that they've got with those new tyres. And Ocon obviously saw that those guys were close to him. He covered the line, and that immediately puts you on the back foot. He was all eyes on Alonso. And Ricciardo just kind of sat back and waited for his moment in a similar fashion to Lewis. And you know that really the first two corners are the only place that you can overtake on Budapest. And he had to get the move done before turn five, which is a seriously fast corner and not somewhere you really want to go side by side. And he was clinical about it in turn two and turn three.
It was good to see him showing some fight, wasn't it, in what's been a tough season, Alex? I mean, especially against a team that McLaren are battling for P4. And it was such a tough season for Ricciardo that I don't think our listeners will be alone if they don't remember this move, because I had to remind both of you of the move before we did the podcast. But similarly, I had to double check it. It was a great one, but it doesn't just come to mind straight away.
Yeah, not at the very front. And if you think of Daniel Ricciardo's Formula One career, you think of bold moves often for podium positions and for race wins. But yeah, thank you for that loyalty, informing everyone that we'd forgotten this one. But it is worthy of being in there. He does get a little bit of help that the Alpine situation was boiling over slightly, but great positional awareness from Ricciardo and a lovely reminder. I think this one is almost a nice throwback, as were his moves in Mexico, just a nice throwback to remind us how good an overtaker he was. And as Jack pointed out, there's only a few corners you can do that in Budapest. So he had a narrow window to get it done. And if you don't get that done immediately, that's a race ruiner.
Well,
it's like Christmas for his engineer, who's, you know, it's painful to get past one car at Budapest, but to get two in one is just, they would have been overjoyed, I think. So.
Yeah, I don't think the strategy went brilliantly for him after that point. So that might be another reason people forget it, because I don't think the end result meant Ricardo was talking about it too much. But I guess in a sense, Alex, that actually comes back to what you said about the Hamilton move at Silverstone, that other factors on top of the move itself sometimes then, is taint the right word, how we look at an overtaking move.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to take it in the context of what did it mean for everyone's race? What did it mean in maybe the context of the year? I think it's worthy of being included though, because it's never a bad day when you're talking about a Daniel Ricciardo overtake. So it's a fine example of his skill.
But as you say, what it meant for the race, Ricciardo finished that race 15th in the end, because he got a 5-second time penalty that demoted him from 13th to 15th. Alonso and Ocon ended up 8th and 9th, so it was a great move, I guess, in a car that wasn't going to finish ahead of them, the way Ricciardo was struggling with it that day. So maybe more impressive for that reason, but it was good to see that from Ricciardo.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So now we're heading to Austin for the last two. And we're going to start with one that was very much at the front of the field. This one I like because it's a bit of a classic. A lunge on the brakes into turn 12 from Leclerc on Perez as they fought hard over third place at the time. Now, Alex, Charles looked so far back trying to make this one stick, really had to force his car into a gap that was closing or threatening to close. We've really seen some great racecraft from him this year, haven't we?
Yeah, some wonderful. Of course, you think of his season and the record books will show it was more about Saturday than Sunday for Charles Leclerc. But you're absolutely right, Chris. His racecraft has been phenomenal. The car positioning has been excellent. I got to say, this was such a late breaking move. I would love to know whether he believed he was going to make the corner. I think there might have been a little bit of surprise when he wasn't all over the runoff on the exit, because it is almost daftly late and a thriller to the inside. Maybe surprised himself, but yeah, phenomenally rewarding overtake that.
And Jack, this one came after Leclerc had tried down the outside, but run wide just a lap before. Perez had kind of, covered the inside line. Now, what's the mindset for a driver here? Like, is it as simple as going, that didn't work, I'll try the opposite next time?
It can be. I mean, it's definitely part of the equation. But really, I think he just would have been trying to react to what Perez is doing and keep his an open mind to whether it was outside, inside, getting him on the entry, getting a good exit for the following sequences, because we saw a lot of cars running side by side through the next two, three, four corners, so we'll talk about in a minute. But it's the kind of section of track where a move can take a long time to complete. But he obviously saw the opportunity was catching him in the toe all the way down that massive straight, and Perez was... You can see in the body language of the car that he's kind of in two minds about defending, and he starts to drift over and he's like, surely he's not going to go from there. I'm probably safe, but oh wait, no, he's going, and starts going further and further to the inside. And from Leclerc's point of view, you're like, he's left the door open, I'm going to go for it. And at some point you have to roll off the brake to get that extra speed to get alongside Perez, and then you're committed. You know, if Perez chooses to keep coming across, you're in for an accident. And luckily, they're both aware enough of what's happening that doesn't happen. Perez leaves him the space, just enough space, And then the final challenge, as you say, is that he had to stop the car before that runoff area, because we saw a lot of people running wide there and falling foul of track limits, and he just keeps his inside wheels on that white line. So it was an excellent overtake from the point of view of precision, bravery, and a fairly classic move, like you say, but yeah, just executed to the highest level.
Is there a little bit of it that's sweeter for a driver as well when it's against someone that in the wider context of a championship you are fighting with? Because obviously Perez and Leclerc were battling over second overall.
Definitely, and Leclerc had quite a busy race as well, because he had a few battles with Verstappen and some pretty good moves within that as well from both drivers. So it was a pretty feisty race for him, and whether it was Verstappen or Perez, I think both Red Bulls, he was pretty... He will go in thinking that he has to finish ahead of them in the championship battle. So that would have been in his mind as well, and would have added to why it was such a risky move that he attempted in the end, because he wouldn't have attempted that for a less valuable position, for example.
Yeah, well, we're going to stay in Austin for the final move on the shortlist, because it was an epic race. And I'll admit, this is my personal favourite from the shortlist. It's a great move across a couple of corners from Sebastian Vettel on Kevin Magnussen. Now, the final lap, Vettel is recovering from a slow pit stop earlier on. He'd pulled a similar move around the outside of Alex Albon at turn 18 a few laps earlier, but that was more simple, I'd say, than this one, given the pace differential between the two. He's out of shape at times to stay alongside Magnussen on the final lap, and he can hold on to and complete the move down the inside of the penultimate corner, and then has to defend at the last corner as well. I mean, Alex, last lap fights like this, they're just awesome, aren't they?
It's why we love it, Chris. It's why we love it. It's quite a strange one as well, because you've gone through... Yeah, Verstappen's crossed the line. So you've had the winning moment and all the fireworks have gone off and there's a huge cheer. And this is almost a bonus. Right at the end, it's the final cherry on top. The fact it's against a notorious defender as well in Kevin Magnussen, who is not afraid to throw an elbow. He's giving him the respect there. And yeah, just fantastic all the way through. There's a wonderful moment where Vettel has to correct at such high speed that if that goes wrong, he's spearing off the track. So there's that element of bravery involved in it as well. And he was always going to make that move. You would have bet every penny you have that he was going to force his way by. And it was great to watch.
I did love that moment where he's out of shape, because like you say, it showed just how on edge he was at that time. But put us in your shoes briefly in that kind of moment, because as you say, you're probably thinking of the lines you're delivering as Verstappen wins and Red Bull took the Constructors' Championship at that moment. Yeah. Are you still aware of what might be going on, or does a director suddenly say to you, or you see a picture and suddenly go, oh crikey?
No, you're looking at the live gaps and you're aware. So I knew there'd be a chance that, to be honest, I thought he'd just line him up at the final corner, but that wouldn't have been anywhere near as fun. Because I think in my head I was like, if we'll see that, it will be a block pass at the final corner type deal. But then you've done all the celebration. It's a total bonus, because you're right. Yeah, you are thinking about, okay, gotta get that constructor's line out. Got that. Great. We've heard some team radio from Max, and then, oh, okay, we're going to reboot into the battle. And you're just a fan at that point, because you don't really mind who's ahead. You're just enjoying the thrill of two brilliant drivers going wheel to wheel. And I think it also, we've talked a lot about context in this, the fact that we were enjoying Sebastian Vettel's skills in the final races as well of his Formula One career, I think heightened it as well.
Well, it wasn't just us, because Jack, even Magnussen said afterwards, and here's a plug for my US radio show that I host, but I interviewed him on Sirius XM in the post-race show. And Kevin said it was a privilege to be involved in that fight, even if he was angry at himself, he used more colourful language, for losing out. I mean, just how good was it from a driving perspective?
Yeah, when the other driver is saying, yeah, that was a good move, you know that they've done well. I mean, he clearly enjoyed it. It's a move that took a long time to complete, as we referenced talking about the previous overtake. Going through that section, the corners kind of double back on each other many times over, even after that long, long right-hander where we had that great TV shot of the two cars going side by side at such high speed. You're then into a left-hander to kind of finish the move, and it takes a lot of skill to run side by side, not just at that speed, but for that long, on tyres that are screaming enough at the end of the race, and you know you're pushing them to the absolute limit, as we saw with Seb's little moment, and things are overheating, and that makes it so easy to get a little bit wide, and you know half a meter in these situations could spell disaster. So the fact that they were both able to get through cleanly for that long is really impressive, and that's probably what Kevin was referring to. But of all the moves that we're talking about, I think this is not just in terms of the context, which I agree with Alex, it was great to see Seb firing on all cylinders, but it was just the most impressive move from a driver's point of view, because the current cars have a lot of downforce, but to go side by side around the outside of that, what's the turn number? Just so that people think I'm knowledgeable.
It's turn 16, 20, 17, 18.
Yeah, 16, 17, yeah, exactly, that one. To go side by side around the outside on the dirty part of the track at such high speed in that corner, I cannot stress how difficult and how much of a risk that is. I think we did see other people trying to go side by side through there previously in the race, so it clearly could be done. But it's a massive risk. You know, you're going into uncharted territory at such high speed. You don't know if there are big bumps in that part of the track. You don't know if there's been a lot of marbles and dust and dirt out there that you haven't experienced before. And the consequences are huge. You know, it's a straight crash. It's not like with the previous moves where Charles, if he overshoots, you know, maybe you're going off track limits. Maybe you lose the place anyway. But it's tarmac runoff and it's low speed and you just carry on. So the speed factor definitely makes this one stand out for me a little bit. And it was the last lap as well, which always adds a little bit to the thrill, doesn't it?
Oh, big time. Can I ask you then, how brave was Seb, given the context that he's on the outside of Magnussen, who, as Alex has referenced, can be very, very robust. But also Magnussen was trying to stretch a one-stop out, was on even older, more worn tyres, I guess more at risk of kind of having a moment on the inside. So like, how brave do you have to be and how much faith are you putting into the driver on the inside of you?
You have to be pretty brave. I mean, it's a mutual thing. Again, you know, Seb would have known the situation that Kevin was in with his tyres and that, you know, there is a risk that the car is going to be moving around a little bit more. And especially when you're the driver on the outside and you've got your wheels either alongside or ahead, you have a bit of a responsibility as well to not squeeze them too much and understand the limits of their car. Because if Seb had just tried to turn across him too early in 16, 17, 18, Kevin wouldn't have been able to do anything. You know, he would have just understood and gone into the side of him and that would have been it. And likewise, Kevin, for keeping his nose in for as long as he did, fighting until the bitter end, really. He really didn't want to give up that place, but ultimately had to. And that took a lot of skill to manage on very old tyres.
Well, Alex, Jack has kind of singled that one out as his favourite of the four, and I've kind of done the same. Is it yours, or have you got a different one?
No, I think on the shortlist, for the context of where it is in Sebastian Vettel's career, and after a couple of years in the doldrums for him, to see him fighting and producing an overtake like that, yeah, I think the high speed aspect as well, as Jack said, the bravery involved there, and given it was against Magnussen, who we've seen put some interesting moves on in the past, brilliant to see, wonderful wheel to wheel stuff, and yeah, deserves its place, I think, as the overtake of the year.
Well, there you have it, three votes from us, but listeners, you don't have to agree with us. You've got four options there for Overtake of the Year in 2022. And you can head over to motorsportmagazine.com to cast your vote. And if you disagree with us, go and do it. Do it now, because otherwise we might have just swayed too many people. But don't aim your anger at me or Alex or Jack if you don't agree with the shortlist. Like I said, it was a group effort. But my thanks to both Jack Aitken and Alex Jakes for joining us. Keep an eye out for more special episodes wherever you get your podcasts from. And now get voting.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.